You're now tuned in to the show. Seatbelts on, I'ma show you how we go. Mind keeps spinning, but there's nowhere to go. It's a trap door to hell, I'ma let them all know. You're now tuned in to the show. Seatbelts on, I'ma show you how we go. Mind keeps spinning, but
and welcome back to another episode of Trap Door to Hell. I'm your host, Travis, as always. This week we have a special guest, our good friend J-Ro, on recording a same day of podcast, so gonna be a lot of work to get this one out, but should be out to you guys. We're recording on Sunday. It is Sunday, so I mean, we should all be up to date. We shouldn't be covering no gaps here. J-Ro, what's going on, my friend?
What's up, everybody? How y'all doing? I'm doing fabulous. How about yourself, man?
So that's what I was gonna get into next, because I'd feel remiss to not mention this off the top of the episode. We've had it's been a rough couple of days for me and my family. Early Saturday morning at about 1:30, got a terrible phone call that nobody wants to hear, and the news was that my uncle had died.
Oh man.
It's not like it was a thing that anybody was expecting. He was, above all, pretty healthy dude. You know, he smoked, but there was no signs of anything that we know of that could have caused it. He, from all accounts by his roommates and stuff, they were all having a good time on Friday night, hanging out, having fun. Everybody went to bed. And his roommate had heard a thud after they went to bed in the bathroom and went over and saw my uncle was unconscious and nobody could revive him. So
yeah,
it's been a rough couple of days here, and I've contemplated a bunch on this podcast whether I wanted to, you know, bring it up at the very beginning and try and bring back the vibes from it, or wait till the end and do it. But I truly need to put it out there, and I'd love to, of course, dedicate this episode to him. He was he followed his dreams more than anybody, so it means a lot.
Yeah, man, I'm really sorry about your loss. So sudden. How old was he? You don't mind me asking, man.
53 years old.
53 years young, man. That's horrible, man. Just out of nowhere.
It was it was something. It was my uncle Frankie Gomes, great guy. He was on, he was a interior designer, hairdresser, fucking real estate. He did a bunch of stuff. Like, he followed what he wanted to do at all times, even if it meant leaving a comfortable place to do something else. And he was on like the Housewives of Orange County as one of the ladies' interior designers. And he was a guy. He never had anything bad to say. Like, anytime you saw something, he'd pick something to brighten your day up, and he will be extremely missed. So I just wanted to start the episode with that.
Yeah, man. Again, I apologize for your loss, man. And on the behalf of your family and everybody, you know, just, you know, my prayers and best thoughts I can give. It's sad. It's like, why do the good ones always go? You know, like, he sounded like a very wonderful human being and individual. Like you said, he always never had anything bad to say about anybody. So it's a tremendous loss, man. And, you know, my condolences to you and your family.
I thank you very much for that.
To kind of lighten the mood a little bit, and again, this is great that we're dedicating it to him. What was your best memory of him?
Oh, I mean, there's so many. You know what was what always lighted me? Like, you know, I've been rocking the mullet for a long time, and even before, like, it started to come back into favor and stuff like that. And every time I saw him, he was just always, Trav, mijo, your hair is so phenomenal. I can't believe how great your hair is. Comment me when we were young, and we would have Easter at his house. We do Easter celebrations. He'd go all out for the egg hunts, putting like $20 bills and golden eggs, and really really spared no expense to make sure that the kids had a good time. He was he's a great person. So all those memories definitely flooded back to me. Yesterday, I went and, you know, visited my great aunt, who was the one to give me the phone call in the middle of the night. So, you know, we, you know, been trying to just reach out, you know, to my family. I reached out to guys too. Also reach out to my brother, you know. I reached out to him to make sure he was doing okay. And we just, you know, we're all working through it. It's not an easy thing at all. So, let's move on from it. I appreciate you, listening to my, my woes there, but, felt like I couldn't do this whole thing and not mention it. It was gonna break through at some point. So I'm glad to get it off the chest at the beginning.
Due diligence, so, and you know, we dedicate this to you, Uncle Frankie, man. This is all for you, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. J-Row, the main reason I wanted to have you on this week was because you announced on Facebook that you have started your venture into the what would you call it? The independent trucking services?
Yeah, the owner operator trucking.
Yeah
man, just got into that. Huge leap. Scary leap. I'm still like, wow, I can't believe I'm doing this, because, you know, as long as you've known me, I've been a company man for a while.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of us are, a lot of us always will be, but times got tough here at home financially, and I felt like it was time for me to take it to the next level, a much higher level. And here I am now, man. It took a lot of careful planning, and a lot of blessings and prayers needed to be answered. And, you know, it happened. So here we are.
That's super interesting. So okay, I have a bunch of questions, and I real quick, what's the name of your independent trucking? What are you calling yourself?
J-Row Logistics LLC.
J-Row Logistics LLC. You have a website up yet, or is it just by phone right now?
Everything's by phone. Still in the very early stages. Still got my, I still got to get my name like registered and trademarked and all that. But yeah, it's all in the processes right now.
So. Okay. Well, we'll make sure at the bottom of this video, they'll have at least the name of it in the bottom header of it. But so you've been thinking about this. How long has this been going in your mind that you were working towards this? Was this a newer goal, or was it an old goal that you just kind of saw through in the recent history?
Well, just similar to me, even getting a CDL, I never thought I would ever do this ever in a million years. And it was one of those things where I'm never going to do that. You know, I hear horror stories about it. There's the pros and cons, but I guess I was put in a situation where I'm like, you know what, I need to take this leap. You know how it is. You know, you're on a cliff, you're about to jump in the water. You know, you just got to take the jump. So I took the jump, man. And, you know, I can't go back now. I'm over the ledge, and, you know, now I just got to land properly, make it work. So,
Interesting. So how do you go about, like, so for example, like, cause you own and operate your own rig now, right? Is it, how big is this? Is it a sleeper? Is it or can you explain it for the folks at home who don't know?
Oh, okay. So this is, I bought a sleeper cab. It's a 2017 Kenworth T680. It's like a miniature apartment on wheels, and it's pretty nice. It's I spent a good I basically bought a house, making some pretty hefty payments here. But this is my workhorse, and this is the only way I'm gonna make money. So this truck is my everything. I have to take care of it, maintain it. And not, you know, like I used to work for Old Dominion and all these other companies recently. If a truck goes down, the truck just goes to the shop. They give me a replacement one, you know. And right here, anything goes wrong, it's on me. I'm paying for it. There is no garage. There's no nothing. It's on me. It's coming out of my pocket. So
yeah, but it's scary. Also at the same time, anything that you earn is that's your overhead. Like you. Yeah, and anything that you do out on the road is expensed. Like
it is, it is. So that, like I said, pros and cons, major pro right there. Yeah. And before I jumped into this, I called a handful of my friends who are also new to this and have done this, and I wouldn't have done it without the confidence they gave in me. I called them, say, "Hey, man, is this legit?" You know, and all of them gave me their own testaments. And it was unanimous. Everybody said, hey, your bank accounts are going to look real nice. You're going to get a lot of nice write-offs. You're doing a business. You may not be paying much taxes ever again. You get to make your own schedule, you know, everything, and everything just sounds great. So it's exciting as it is scary, man. So that's why I went with it, man. I said, you know what? Let's do this. I'm doing it for my family, man.
That's super awesome. So you're saying, like, these things, I know they cost a fortune. You said it's like buying another house, which is crazy. So yeah. when you go to do that, or do you apply for that like as a biz, like as a small business loan? Is that kind of how you get started and foothold in that, or how so if not?
So, you know, to buy, yeah, it's similar to buying a house. You got to have a down payment, a deposit or whatever, down payment.
Yeah.
So I had to take a loan out of the bank, and that was prayer number one. Please make this happen, because without this loan, I'm probably not going to even get my feet off the ground. So luckily, I have good credit. I've maintained it, and with it, I was able to get my loan. So I used that loan to put the down payment on the truck, and then the rest of that money went towards all my fees and license and permits and all that good stuff. So it's an investment. Like I said, thanks to my credit, you know. So everyone out there, if you're listening, take care of that credit. And if it's bad, work on it. Work on that credit, man. I mean, it can be done, you know. My credit was real bad, Travis. It was like high 300s, low 400s. It was horrible. So I went to the credit union one day, and I said, I can't live like this forever, right? So I went and I sat with someone, and I said, look, my credit's horrible. What do I need to do to fix this? Give me something. I'm going to start from the bottom, from scratch. Let's make this happen. And she gave me a few tips. I went from there. We made it happen.
What were some of those tips that they gave you?
They said the first thing you want to do is establish some good credit. So what they did was they gave me this $1,000 loan. I forgot the name of the loan, but basically they said, we give you this loan, don't spend it, don't use it. They said, what you want to do is pay it off with it. So use that money. So you're basically revolving that money. And so, you know, like I said, I mean, I had $100 credit before by some bank, and I went and blew that $100. I was young, dumb, and stupid, right? And this one, they just said, use that money and make that monthly payment, pay itself. And that went away within 12 months. All of a sudden, my score boosted. I think from there, it went to like 500. From there, I did it again. And then from there, they just said, just keep paying your bills off. You know, I was doing things like whenever bill collectors were calling me, I was ignoring them. I was scared. I didn't want to answer those phone calls. Another piece of advice for everyone out there, if you don't avoid those calls, just answer it and work with them. If you don't have the money, they're not going to come and arrest you. They're not going to do anything to you, right? So you just go to them, just be like, okay, I don't have much money. I don't know how to fix this, but I know you guys want your money. Let's make a deal here. And then, you know, they'll just say, you know what? Let's just do a little bit here. You know, I owed X amount of money, but we're just going to have you pay 20% of it. We'll do payments, whatever. You do whatever you need to do. But from there, all the bad habits went out the window. And it took, I don't know, like 2 years, maybe 2-3 years. But that credit score of about 400 got up to above 700. From there, it's just maintaining it, dude.
No, that's super interesting. You mentioned talking to like debt collectors and stuff like that, because most people have a real panic about that stuff. Mm-hmm. But these guys, they don't make money unless they get payments from you. And what they really don't want is to keep charging you interest and keep charging you interest, and then you just go bankrupt, because they don't see any of that. They may get a payout from, but they don't get much. They'd rather like knock the price down for you and work with you rather than do all that.
Right, because they're human beings too, and they got their own financial issues, I'm sure. But you know, they're just trying to do their job and help you out. You know, it's like help me help you, right? So.
For sure.
It was doing those little things, man. But anyways, like I said, good credit is everything, man. If you got it, keep it. If you don't have it, work on it. It can be done. I'm living proof, man. I had the shittiest credit, dude. So, but turned it around. But anyways, with that credit, I was able to get this loan. And here I am now. I'm on business, man. It's crazy.
So do you have like a business plan going forward for what kind of services you're looking? Or are you just kind of picking up? I'm sure now just starting out, you're kind of picking up whatever you could take. But do you have an idea for a business plan or model of what kind of services you want to provide?
I'm still getting my feet wet. Yes. But, you know, I just want to be able to just get up 5 days a week, and start as close as I can to home and go do a couple of loads, come home and make some good money. You know, there's some money to be made out there. And my buddy who actually got me into this, he was saying, you got a CDL. He was like, that's great what you're doing there with the Teamsters. It's great what you're doing there with these logistics companies, but there's way more money out there that you can get. And don't settle for this. Like, there's, you know, sky's the limit, go for it. So he said, the only thing that holds a lot of people back is taking that leap. So I took the leap, man. But my plan is just keep the money rolling in, because right now I'm not relying on a company to give me work, whether if it's slow or if it's hot right now. I got to go get it. I gotta go get to that fruit tree and go pick every fucking piece of fruit that I can. So that's what it's about right now. And it's cool, but it's like, it's crazy because I'm now one of these idiots who's on this phone all the time trying to like close deals and network and get business. You know, it's not like my old job, it was like, I'll go clock in when I have to go back on a schedule. Now I'm a businessman now. And now I have to get that work. So, but what I'm looking for, to answer your question, Travis, is I'm trying to maybe ultimately get a contract with somebody, with somebody who's going to sign me up, you know, for whatever deal, and I can work for them and get that guaranteed work for X amount of time. So
Hey, Jay, we want to lease your services every Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
This time we need this run to be made, and mm-hmm. we want you to do it, 'cause you do a good job. You're going to be on time and you're always going to be steady.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure that's what the contract entails, is the commitment, right? Be there and show up, you know, just like any basketball, football contract. You got to show up, do your job, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm looking for. But right now, currently, I'm working out of the port of Los Angeles. All the ships that come out of the containers from elsewhere in the world, China, Japan, Taiwan, you name it, it comes over to us and it comes to Los Angeles first. I know in the Bay Area, it comes to West Sacramento and some parts of Oakland and San Francisco, but LA is like the hub. Like, and so everything comes through there. There's a shitload of containers coming through, and there's way more containers than there is drivers. So there's plenty of work. So,
okay.
I'm pulling containers from Los Angeles, from the port of Los Angeles inwards, man, bringing it in. So
yeah, bring it inland. You got to bring it inland to those big ass warehouses, right?
Yep. Got to bring it to Amazon, everyone who needs it, Wayfair, whoever needs it. So
but, for sure.
They pay good. They pay good. So it's fun. Again, scary, but fun.
How long have you been on your own now? A week, 2 weeks?
It's been about a week.
Yeah, a week.
This is my first weekend I'm enjoying off right now. So
you work just Monday through Friday this week?
That's the plan. But if work comes up, I'm going to take it, you know?
Yeah.
I had a job Saturday morning yesterday, and they postponed on me. So I still have it, but yeah. I'm like, I got Saturday off. No,
just waiting on the call, the other shoe to drop, right? Like, when are they going to call me and tell me that they need this picked up and moved?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just a waiting game. But again, you know, it's cool. You know, it's I have my own office now on wheels, and I wear what I want. You know, if I want to go all messed up to work, I will. You know what I mean? Like, it's cool. There's a lot of freedom.
Yeah. Well, that's one of those things. Like, you see those guys who own their own and they get to just fucking wear whatever and shit like that, you know, just as long as, you know, I'm sure you still have in mind that you want to present what you put forward, but mm-hmm. I bet it's nice to wear your Dodgers or you're wearing Padres mm-hmm. stuff right now, gear mm-hmm. to work and support and all that shit.
Yeah, it's nice. By the way, the Padre gear, no, if anyone's wondering who knows me, no, I'm not switching teams. I have not been traded to the Padres or nothing. I'm just, this is my son played for the Padres on his little T-ball team. So, so we're outside throwing balls in the background right now, working on his game and stuff. So that's when I wear it, but I won't be caught wearing the Padre gear out on the streets, man.
How's he doing? How's he doing? Sunday or a couple weekends ago was his last game, right?
Yeah, man, he had his last game, and they went to round one of the playoffs, and they lost. The team that beat us got their revenge on us because we kicked their ass the week prior. And Santana should have went to the All-Stars. He was number two statistically on his team, and I think that's how they do it. The top two or three players go to the All-Stars. He didn't get to go because there was some sort of political crap going on, but. Yeah, props
to Santana. I've been around little leagues for a long time, J-Ro. You better get used to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's T-ball, you said, right?
Yeah, it's
they have all stars for T-ball.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
They're little studs, man. They're out there doing their thing, man. Like, they look like little miniature MLB players. It's crazy.
Whenever I watch Santana, because I've watched, you know me, I've talked to you guys and people listening a bunch about my, you know, affiliation with Little League's past and how much I've coached and travel ball and stuff like that. But, like, when I watch Santana and his stuff, like, he's levels above most T-ballers that when people think about T-ballers, they think about these little, you know, little kids running around, they're picking dandelions and can't focus and this and that. And you watch, when I would see clips and videos that you sent or posted of Santana, like, he's in it, he's ready, his swing is already like something of a couple years later, and it's just you can see the intent in his eyes. And you told me his season's over and you're in the backyard practicing with him. Like, mm-hmm. And I know that's not you forcing him, nothing on him. I know that kid. Santana just wants to play, which is nice to see.
Yeah, he's out there. He told me today, we came home and I was getting ready to plug up for this. And he's like, Daddy, let's go play. And I'm like, I can't say no to him, man. You know, like,
oh, yeah.
Life's too short, dude. I don't want to say no to him.
Fuck this. I can push this back. No worries. Yeah. So. Yeah. It's all about the little ones.
He's inside watching Lanky Box on YouTube right now. And I said, well, as soon as we're done, we're getting back out there, man. So we're out there working. He's kind of a pitcher right now. He's got aim. He's got aim, speed. He hits well. He does well. But I appreciate the good words, man. I'm a very modest guy. I'm like, he's all right. You know, like, he's cool. But I keep hearing from other people who have coached before and stuff like yourself and know a thing or two who give him his props. And I think now I'm starting to kind of believe, yeah, maybe he's got something here. So we're working on him. So.
Well, if you ever,
he's having fun, right?
Yeah. And if you ever need real tips or anything like that, you can send me clips or I can fucking, I love to do it. I love to do it. I love to help any way I can. So even if I don't know how to help and I'm out, I got plenty of resources to help really dial them in.
Yeah. No, I know it, man. Ever since I met you, I know you are, you're a man of the game, man. If I ever hit the lottery, dude, I'm going to hire you, man. I'm just going to have you come and just come live out here.
I'm going to live down there. I'm just going to podcast and coach Santana. Yeah.
That's all your job's going to be, man. Is just work on him. Like, you're going to be his Mr. Miyagi or his, what's the dude from Rocky? His Mickey, you know? So.
Ew, Adrian.
Get out there, you bum.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. No, that'd be fun. Every time we talk, we seem to get back to that lottery thing and like having a compound set up where we all just like honestly, truly can sit down and create, you know, and create our shit. Like, this week was rough. I talked about, you know, just the other night on Thursday, I had to go because Emma, who those of you who watched last week's podcast, she made a guest appearance because she got hurt. But she needed a little hug for me and then go on your way. But she had oral surgery on Thursday. So she had to get like six fillings done and get two filled and put in brackets for spacers to keep the pulled teeth, keep that space open. So it's been a lot this week. It's just been a lot.
Man, it was all that in one visit too.
Yeah, so we could have done where it was going to be separate visits and they just kind of give her laughing gas and do what they can do, or we elected to go with the latter here, which was to take her to an actual oral surgeon, have her put under and have the whole surgery done all in one swell, all in one swoop. So we realized that she was having some issues already just going into the dentist. We have trouble with her going to the doctor and shots and all that stuff. So, like, we didn't feel putting her in for, like, six different visits was going to be very productive for her.
Right. Yeah.
Even the front desk people at the dentist's office were like, you know, when people elect to go the other way, especially for the real little ones, by the second or third visit, they just don't come back. Yeah. So we were like, we'll just do this and suffer through. And, you know, because it's never easy, you know, for me, I have it less. I have less issue with it, you know, the whole going under and being put under anesthesia and stuff. But, you know, that's my lady's fucking baby right there. So she's like, you know, had a real rough time with it, but we got through it and it was nice.
Good for you guys. No, that was a good choice, man. I mean, that's the best choice. I mean, to have to go back over and over again, I mean, it becomes unenjoyable regardless. And once I had my wisdom teeth taken out, and it was the two down here and the two up here, they were like, you want to just do these two this time and then we'll come back this time? Well, I looked at me like, no, get it all done now.
Yeah.
Get it all done. So I'm glad I did. But I hear horror stories too about kids who, little kids who have gone in for surgeries multiple times. And when you do that, you're kind of making it riskier, giving them a better chance to have some sort of a failure. You know, when you put a kid under the knife for so many times, you're putting their life at danger now. So to limit that amount of visits, regardless of how big or small it is, limit that shit, you know?
Yeah.
Get it done. But yeah. Good for you guys. And that's your baby too, man. You've been a wonderful father to those kids since they came into your life. And I've been seeing it, you know? So it's beautiful. Beautiful. You're an inspiration, bro.
I very much appreciate that. You know, yeah.
It's never easy. There's ups and downs. Okay. All the daddies out there know that. We got Daddy's Day coming up soon, but yeah, it is what it is, but you're wonderful at it, bro. Let me tell you that you are.
Father's Day. I better be getting a good fucking gift too.
No. That's right. Hey, we're putting it out there, man. Hook him up. Hook this man up.
Oh my goodness. I just sprung. So they, a while ago back at Disneyland, they released, the Wanda Maximoff Scarlet Witch ears. And my lady, you know, I got the Funkos. My lady likes, you know, the Mickey ears. So we'd seen them all over online and stuff, and they sold out like that. They sold out so fast. And she thought she was never going to get them. Luckily, on one of the pages on Instagram that I follow and stuff like that for Funko news mostly, they were like, just a heads up, they're going to restock these for one day on Disney.com or Disney Shop Disney.com or whatever. Cool. So I was next morning, 7 a.m. waiting up. Like,
yeah,
if I get her these ears, I'm going to make her so fucking happy. I'm going to fucking earn myself some brownie points for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Those really are pretty awesome.
They're really cool ears, too.
You got to really try cool. them on for us sometime, man, because I'm not going to get caught. I'm not dead wearing those things, man.
Got a whole fucking wall of them. I have a funny story, because what she's got them all on, like, the top area of the wall or whatever, going around, and I have one of my own pairs up there. It's a real fun, and it's a Star Wars light up one, so it's like a battle in the sky. I think it's just TIE fighters. I don't think the Millennium Falcon's on it, but it lights up and it's like they're shooting out of the ships and stuff like that, battling. So it's a pretty cool set of ears. We were in Disneyland. And for those of you who know, it's the trip me, my brother, and my mom, my dad took with my cousin Josh and them. And it's the cover photo still on our Facebook page. Yeah, we were coming back into Disneyland to get ready for nighttime and the fireworks and stuff like that. And those of you who know are going to know the story and how funny it is. It might need a little more detail. We're walking down Main Street. We get almost to the end of Main Street, and we're getting ready to bang the left over to go over to Adventureland.
Yeah.
Just as we're coming down towards the end of Main Street, there's a cart there, and this lady is selling these light up ears. And I'm like, I don't wear ears. I just normally wear my ball cap, whatever. I was like, those are pretty cool. I think I might buy them. And I bought them and I put them on. We walked around the corner, and before we can even get to the Jungle Cruise ride, I seen another person wearing them. So I said, fuck this, I'm not wearing them. I took them off and I put them in the backpack. Never put them on my head again. I like to wear my own shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't like showing up to the party with the same outfit as the other person.
Oh God. I hate that. Most people who know me know, during parties, we'd have parties at my house. I'd make like three costume changes, outfit changes throughout the night as more drunk. I mean, it always ended in me just in jeans, no shirt, my Stone Cold Steve Austin vest. But nice. There was a couple steps that would get there.
Nice.
All right. Well, what else is new, J-Ro? I'm glad about your business and stuff like that. But what's been going on besides all that?
just trying to take care of myself, man. Lately, since this transition from that old job to this new venture as a business guy, I've been so under stress, bro. Shitload of stress, right? And so I'm trying to like eat better. I'm trying to lose weight. Trying to take care of my heart, bro. That's what I'm trying to do, because I was waking up in the middle of the night, like dreaming. Have you ever, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this, but you ever work so hard at a job that you dream about the job?
Yeah.
And you're there and you kind of wake up like, God damn, you know, because it's like, you don't want to be there. Or, but I remember the first time it ever happened to me. This is back when I was a teenager and I worked at Burger King. It was my first job ever. And I had this dream that I had to make 200 Whoppers, and those suckers were coming down the line, and I'm like, just trying to put them all together and everything, and it was like creeping me the F out. And then finally I woke up from the dream. I'm like, man, that was like saying, hey, you're working too hard, or you're just thinking about work too much. So anyways, going through this, I'm going through a great deal of stress, and my heart is thumping a lot faster and harder lately. So I've been kind of scared, you know, so I'm starting to kind of worry about my health a little bit. And so I'm trying to be preventative and take care of my heart now, because this is nothing I never really took care of before. So they're just, you know, just saying eat right, you know, exercise. I'm trying to exercise, do my 30 to 60 minutes a day of working out, you know, cardio, getting out there, playing something to get you sweating or huffing and puffing, and you know, just doing all the right things. They say don't smoke, so I know you're a smoker. Smoker is like a big killer, you know. The heart disease is a bitch, you know, so just, you know, times. What was your first job, man?
My first job, I worked at, what was it? Ace Hardware.
Good times.
It was nice. I learned a lot there. It was a really good job. Just actually, that was not my first job. I'm sorry. I forgot. My first job was I worked at a company, called Westland Giftware. So what, yeah, it was like, you know, when you see like random bobbleheads, like Elvis bobbleheads and Bo Peep and just the bullshit you'll see at like some little trivial corner store in like a tourist town, and you're like, yeah, these all are the same, and they just look like it's nothing that nobody would want to collect, but yeah, stuff like Avon products and shit like that. So it was all like that. And it was just basically packing orders that came in with this and that. They'd come down the line, just pack them into a box, ship them out, get ready to ship out. It was, it sucked. It really fucking sucked. The worst days would be when the tankers come in from guys like you dropping them off. And then, yeah, we'd have to unload the tankers full of these boxes. And it'd, yeah, be like 100 degrees in there, and we're humping, ooh, them. And, yeah, one Indian dude who worked there who just fucking, he would work too fast and then fuck up and make more work for everybody else. And we're like, what the fuck is that shit?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was something. Then when I got into Ace Hardware, that was great. That was really great. Cause I just learned a lot about, you know, like man shit, you know, shit that my dad knows how to build and do a lot of things. My dad at the same token is not always the best teacher. So like when I got to work there, I got to learn from other people who, you know, whether it was exploring on my own, helping somebody out, trying to figure something out, whether they wanted to build, let's say, a soccer net with PVC pipe and exactly how that would work, or, you know, what should look right, staining a fence or cutting, you know, things like that, things that I feel like most, you know, men should know, yeah, working, you know, at least homeowners, you know, whatever. It's, I think it's a nice tool to have to be able to, you know, do little things like that. And I learned a ton from there, a ton. So
that's cool.
That was really fun. I enjoyed working there a lot.
That's what's cool about a job. You know, if you look back at all the jobs you've done in the past, you either had to have some really good times, good memories, or picked up some skills along the way. Then that's how you know it paid off. You're not happy with, I always tell people this all the time, if you're not happy with your job, leave. You know, don't complain about it, just leave. There's always something else out there. But if you're out there having a good time, or like you said, you're picking up some skills and stuff, man, handle it, you know?
Yeah, I'm getting excited too. I've started the process. I don't know if I said it on here or not, of getting into the field, because I've just been working in the warehouse for the fire alarm company I work for now.
Yeah.
And I told him, like, I want to go out in the field and start working. So I had a review, and they were like, we're going to really start, you know, pushing you out there. So I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So another step of the life, you know, that's it. Yeah. I'm very excited to do it. You know, we're both, you know, it's one of the things, and I don't know if you had this when you kind of you take advantage for like how, what that means to your family, especially like, yeah. I had came home and told, or I had texted Laura that day, like, I talked to everybody at work here. They said they're going to start getting me into the field soon. So, you know, we're going to get a raise, and, you know, we're going to start learning and building a better career for me. And like, for me, like those words kind of just roll off the back, and we'll get there and we'll get through that and shit like that. She came home and she had the girls talking about it, hugging me and congratulating me, like,
yeah,
like, oh my God, we're so proud of you and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I like started to cry. I'm like, yeah, like, this is insane. Like, I don't know if it's just me. Like, I never had that kind of, I mean, I've had it before, but I've never had that feeling the way it was, and never thought about anything in that sense. So it's just crazy.
Yeah, it's a beautiful feeling when your family supports you and they're just proud of you and gives you the props. Cause, you know, like you said, you're a modest cat, you know, you're like, you know, whatever it is, what it is, I'm just going through my motions. But to them, it meant a big deal. And they're very, very proud of you. That's great. That's great support system there, dude. It's beautiful.
Yeah, great. For sure. Awesome. Awesome stuff. I know you wanted to talk about it. So we're going to do a little talk about Sonic 2. I know J-Ro, I think we mentioned it. We talked about it a little bit. I definitely gave my score on here, but I didn't get into depth on it. So, J-Ro, why don't you take it away, and we'll see where it leads talking about Sonic 2.
Okay, so I didn't have much. I didn't think it was going to be good. I was like, this is going to be one of those sequels that's going to suck. So me and my son, we went to the movie, and, man, it was good. It was great. It was a good movie. It was better than the first one. I loved all the new characters. Dr. Robotnik was awesome. I told you in that first movie, I loved his performance. This one, he made me crack up. He was the funniest part of the movie, Dr. Robotnik. Everything he said, the action was great. The lights, the sound, it was great. I had a good time with that movie. I probably seen the movie like 6 times already now, because we went back and watched it. We took my wife to go see it. She was like, okay, I want to see it. I said, trust me, you're gonna like it. She had a great time. It was funny.
Yeah,
very nostalgic. You know, if you're a Sonic fan. 90s shit, you know, hopefully they didn't overdo it. What do you think?
No, so I didn't think it was gonna suck, or at least I was hopeful that it wasn't going to suck when I went to go see it, but like you said, it blew my expectations out the water. Yeah. I liked it more than the first one. I think I gave the first one a 79. I have it here somewhere. I gave this one a 86.
86, nice. Yeah. Hey. Wow.
And then I gave the other one a 78. Yeah. Like, it took a big jump for me. I think it's just, it's a hard thing. And anybody who's listened to us, or me and Ty back in the day, or what J-Ro's been on, or talk about movies and things like that, one of the things that comes up is, where do you draw the line at origin, right? Because you're making these Sonic movies for a generation that doesn't have Sonic. But then when guys like us go watch it, for me especially, I really love the Sonic X series of animated shows. I played the animated games, basically every single Sonic animated game that was on GameCube. I played that. So I had a really strong idea of where Sonic came from, and what the idea is, and who he is, and all the characters involved. So that first movie, like, grounding it in reality by paying a ton of attention to his relationship with the humans, right? And then growing Robotnik and putting him at a time, because you can't just get full Robotnik. You have to have that level of how he becomes, because then he doesn't become relatable. So it's a mildly toned down version of what Sonic is supposed to be in that first one. And you only get Sonic as a light, you know, but I still think it was good. I think they did a good job with that one. But then you come into this one and you've got all the setup. You understand, you bring Robotnik straight out of the Mushroom Planet, which puts him into the psychosis part of what Robotnik really is. You let Jim Carrey do his own thing, right? Sonic is this elevated. Now he understands his powers. He understands what he's meant to do. He's here to protect the people of Earth, blah, 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 blah. Then you can bring in fucking Tails, which Tails is my favorite fucking Sonic character.
Yeah.
So you had me. They had me from the very beginning. And then Knuckles being brought in and having the storyline of Knuckles was fucking awesome. What I think this movie truly needed to do was start to separate it from that human. I can't remember the Officer Donut. I can't remember his real name. James Marsden. Is that the actor?
Oh yeah. Wachowski, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. I can't remember his, remember his character.
Donut Lord. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they should have taken more time to separate themselves from Sonic and have more Sonic and Tails action and stuff like that. The whole wedding thing, I like how it got them out of that situation where they're being chased down the avalanche. But you don't have to have the wedding be so significant, right? Because they also at the same time, they were trying to separate, so they didn't spend too much time there. But they spent enough time where it was annoying, but not enough time to where when you learn how significant it is, you're like, why is this so big? Nobody cares. It's just, that was the only thing that kept it from being upper tier 80s for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you. That part was kind of like, whatever. It was a transition to the third act. And I have to say the sister-in-law, the heavyset, like she was funny. That part made me laugh.
She was funny. Yes.
I thought she was kind of annoying in the first one. I was like, she's kind of like a redundant character. But in this one, she brought that comedy relief during that transition. So that was cool.
It didn't score as low as for me. Because you had those light moments that came from that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was cool, though. But like you said, separating yourself from the human element. I mean, my favorite scene, actually, when you want to talk about the human element, was when they do that dance off in that country, wherever they were.
Oh, yeah. I
loved that part. That was funny.
You would love that part.
I think they could use the better song. I think the Bruno Mars.
It's Uptown Funk, dude. It's Uptown Funk.
It's a little overdone, I think, that song. It's a great song. Don't get me wrong. But they could have used something else, I think. But it was a cool part. I adored it. Tails, I love Tails. Knuckles was cool. I was excited to see.
I'm excited where the third one goes from here.
Yeah.
Because I think the third one can truly separate. Separate and become its own thing.
Because the best parts were their own element, right?
Yeah,
The characters themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. The hedgehog characters themselves stepping out and all that stuff. So it was really cool. Really cool ending, like for sure. The big Eggman mech suit was really fucking cool. And how they paired together to fight that was really, really awesome.
Yeah.
Really awesome.
Yeah. All right. You still see me there? Okay.
Yeah, I got you. You good?
My battery's at 20%, so we'll wrap it up when I hit 10.
Okay, sounds good.
Loved the movie though. Loved it.
Yeah, loved it.
I was so excited about it. I was like, dude. I was like, Travis, you gonna go see this, right? Like, man, it was good. I loved it.
Yeah, for sure. I was excited when I saw that at the end of the first one. They showed Tails kind of flying in, or the voice of Tails. I can't really remember. I think he flew in onto the hill above the town, but once I saw that, I was like, I'm in. Take my money. I'm in the middle of Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers, the second rewatch, because I haven't scored it yet.
Okay.
I feel like I didn't get a good enough feel on the first one. Sometimes I gotta watch these movies twice, because the first time will be too nostalgia based and I can't feel I score that correctly.
Oh, okay. I'm going to watch that tonight. So it's going to be our family movie night.
You're going to have so much fun with it, J-Ro.
Cool. I used to watch the show back in the day, so I like it.
Yeah, you're going to have a ton of fun and pointing out the little things to Santana is going to be a blast. Sweet. Like the girls could care less about all the shit, cuz they listen to it constantly for me, whether we're watching Star Wars or something like that. I'm like, do you know what that is? And then I'll go and they'll be like, Dad, just shut up. We want to enjoy the show. But it's a little fun. It's like a peek into my life, into, you know, what I know and stuff like that. And I like to pass those things on. So hopefully that's enjoyable. One thing I want to bring up, this, we're talking about J-Ro always loves when we talk about the food. The food is one of your favorite things. When I was the night before we had Emma's surgery, we went to Red Robin. Red Robin has a new meal, like a special menu little thing for summertime, and it's brisket based. Ooh. So they have a brisket based burger that's got like a burger patty, pepper jack cheese, fried onion strings, jalapenos, brisket, and then some other things on it. And they have their chips there, their home chips, and then they load them up like fries with the brisket. Man, I had those. They were so good. So good.
This was where now?
Red Robin.
Red Robin. Cool. I haven't been to Red Robin in a little while, man. I gotta go back.
Well, the girls in the house, they all have celiac, so they can't have like gluten. So they need to have gluten-free stuff. And Red Robin has a really good option for they have gluten-free buns there that are really good.
Ooh.
And they have gluten-free pizza as well now. So it's
did you try it?
So the gluten-free pizza?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had their regular pizza there. It's good pizza, surprisingly. Yeah. Like, cause you're going to Red Robin, you're like, pizza? Like, what the fuck? It's actually pretty good pizza.
Nice. All right. Let's
surprisingly. So we go to Red Robin as much as we can. There was one right here in Pleasanton that closed down recently, so that kind of stinks, but
yeah.
It is what it is. Any new food things that you tried lately? I know you said you're trying to be healthy.
Yeah. So we stopped at Del Taco today on the way out. So I ate healthy this morning. We went to one of those juice places like a Jamba, but it's, I forgot what it's called, but they're one of those acai bowls with the bananas. And that was good. You know, I'm just trying to eat better. It's expensive, man, but you got to pay to eat better. Right. But we stopped at Del Taco for lunch today. And so I'm like, we just went for drinks, but I'm like, give me a taco. Just give me one taco, you know, trying to at least limit my intake. And I tried the Beyond Taco. I guess.
Is it like impossible meat?
It's like an impossible meat, right? And so I'm.
Man, fuck all that noise.
I'm thinking it's going to taste decent. It tastes like, I never had dog food before, but I'm sure that's what it tastes like. It was horrible, bro. It was horrible, dude. It was the same Del Taco that I love with the cheese and tomato and all that crunchy shell, but the meat was just like, ugh, what the heck, dude? So, not again. Nah, I'm just gonna, I'm gonna eat less, and you know, this impossible stuff, that's for the dog.
Well, that's the thing, too. Everybody's like, oh, dude, why don't you try the impossible burger or the impossible Whopper over at Burger King or impossible this? And I'm like, why don't I just eat regular meat? I don't have a fucking issue with it.
Yeah. Yeah, have you had the Impossible Whopper before?
No, I ain't eating that shit. Fuck all that noise.
It's like rubber, dude. It's weird. Yeah. It's really weird. It's really weird.
They do that stupid-ass commercial where they're like, try this burger. Now try this one. Well, this is impossible. Oh, I couldn't even taste it. You're full of shit. You're a paid actor. Like, don't fucking bullshit me.
Don't do it. But that's about all. I was going to ask you, though, I asked you a few weeks ago, and I think we forgot on one of these recent podcasts, is that the Mountain Dew Flaming Hot.
Oh, the Mountain Dew. Yeah.
What was that all about?
Flaming Hot Mountain Dew. So I did pick one of those up at the store. It was funny. I picked one up, and I drank it, and I started texting around, like, everybody who knows that, you know, that I do it, except for J-Ro. And then J-Ro texts me the next day, like, you see these? You got to try one. I go, I just had one the other day.
Oh, I did a day later.
it was literally the next day. It was, it's interesting. I haven't got another one since. I didn't hate it. That's the thing. So when you're drinking it, right, at first it's, how I'll explain it is the first hit of your mouth is Mountain Dew. Tastes like Mountain Dew. It's refreshing like Mountain Dew. Like if somebody took a Mountain Dew and squeezed lime into it.
Okay.
Like that's what it tastes like. It's super refreshing. And then as you're swallowing it and you're kind of finishing your drink, then you get the taste. Then you get the taste of the Flamin' Hot.
Then the heat comes.
It wasn't, for me, it's not that hot. It wasn't that hot. It was a little off kilter. It's strange to have that spicy flavor come from a drink. Like I don't drink like spicy micheladas or anything like that. So, so it was strange, but I didn't hate it at all. I actually kind of liked it, but then I went in to eat with it. So I had chili cheese dogs that day. So I'm eating the chili cheese dogs, and then I go to take a drink, and that completely threw it off.
Yeah.
Completely threw it off. Yeah. So how I kind of told my friends, you know, my other friends about it and stuff like that, like Donnie has been on the podcast and Hardy and the rest of my boys, was like, this would be good if you wanted to make an alcoholic spicy drink out of it. Something like that. If you wanted to mix it with beer or maybe like a vodka drink or something like that, I think that would be interesting taste for those who like micheladas and stuff like that would enjoy. Don't eat it. I wouldn't recommend like having that as your drink with a meal at all.
I probably wouldn't either. Interesting, man.
I had some Safeway's wings from the, you know, the ones that they make there and sell.
The deli and all that?
Yeah, the deli. Uh-huh. And like I took a bite into it, and like the skin was like soggy, rubbery. And I was just thinking to myself, is there anything worse than like soggy chicken skin on something? I'm like, at the time I'm eating it, I'm like, this is the worst thing ever. But I couldn't honestly think of another thing that was worse than that.
Yeah. No, there's something about that, and better make up for it with that meat on the inside. Cause I know what you're talking about. It's weird.
At that point, it's like, I might as well just rip the skin off and just eat the meat by itself.
Yeah.
What I ended up doing was just taking them and tossing them back into the air fryer until they got crispy again. But then you dry out the meat. That just stinks.
Yeah. And also I tried, I don't know if you have a Sonic's nearby you, but if you do, they have this, this shake of the month or whatever it's called. It's like the cake batter shake or brownie batter. Is the bomb, dude.
Oh, is it brownie or is it cake?
It's both. You have a choice of either.
Okay. All right.
It's expensive, dude. It's expensive. And I kept passing up on it. I kept telling my wife, no, because that price. And then one day I was like, yeah, let's do it, right? Bomb, dude.
Yeah.
I got to go back before. I think actually it's going to go away like in a day or so.
Shit. I might go there today. I might drive. Because the closest Sonic is over the Altamont Pass into Tracy. Mm-hmm. So I have to drive into Tracy to get it, which short 20-25 minute on, you know, drive over there. But it's just like, you know, it's a little far to go get something. There's that line, right, where you're like, I only go to Sonic when I'm craving my favorite. And that's cheesy bacon pretzel dogs from Sonic. Those are the fuck. Anytime somebody's like, I don't like Sonic, I go, have you tried the cheesy bacon pretzel dogs? Because they are the best.
Yeah.
Pretzel hot dog bun, hot dog, nacho cheese, like a nacho cheese sauce, bacon bits. And then they do onions on them. I don't get the onions on them because I only like fried onions.
Okay.
Or I like when onions are mixed into like a chili or something like that. I don't mind because you can't really, it's just different. But but those things, what I'll do is I'll fucking order four of them, and then I'll knock out two or three on the drive home, and I'll save one for later.
There you go. It might as well, right? You made the trip.
I still love that they sell a fucking huge soda. You can get the Route 44 size.
Yes, sir. I
hate though this Sonic here in Tracy sells them in the plastic cups. The styrofoam cups, I swear to God, I don't know what it is about styrofoam cups, but styrofoam cups make sodas better.
Yeah.
Does your Sonic have styrofoam or does it have plastic?
They just switched to styrofoam recently, but I'm opposite of you. I like the clear cups. I don't know what it is.
Really?
I mean, I'm not opposed to you, but I'm opposite of, I like the clear cups for some reason. Like when I go to Starbucks and stuff, I mean, I don't know. I think it's
how the styrofoam holds the ice
and
keeps it cold is what it does. It's something that it does.
So what I do with my, when I'm done with my Sonic drink is that ice left over, just throw it in the fridge and it's good for the rest of the day, rest of the night. Just pull it out, add whatever drink you want to add to it. Good to go. But that's the way to preserve that ice. That's the best ice in the world, right?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. That the little, I don't even know what they call it, that little nugget ice.
Yeah.
But it really fucking works.
Yeah,
love it really does.
Love it. But yeah, we go to Sonics though because they do the happy hour, right? Between 2 and 5, I think it is. All the drinks are half off, man. So we go to town and get all those the Route 44s, you know? I'll come home with 2 or 3, you know,
because the
drinks hold up. So
yeah, that's great. I usually go, I go cherry limeade, yep, usually.
Winter.
Or I go Route 44 Dr. Pepper with cherry syrup in it.
You're my man. Yeah, I do that.
Yeah, we know what's up.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
The cherry limeade, the only better cherry limeade I've had is from Firehouse Subs.
Oh, okay.
Have you been to Firehouse Subs?
I have. There's one down the street from my house, but I haven't had that drink.
Get the cherry limeade. It's literally the best cherry limeade I've ever had.
I got to do it. All right. Yeah. All right.
Oh, all right. Dude, Firehouse Subs, I haven't had in a minute either, dude. They've got great subs.
I know.
Great subs.
Yes, yes. You know someone's listening to this podcast right now who's really hungry or being like, fuck these guys. And it happened to me last week. I was listening to you, or I don't know, it was one of the recent episodes. You were just talking about food and I was hungry, dude. And I'm like, shut the fuck up, dude. Like, come on. You're like, hunger a lot worse than what it already is, you know? You know how it is, though. You watch television, you're like, you know, there's food on TV or you watch
Food Network. I have Sling TV as my provider.
Yeah.
Because I have streaming service for everything. And the only thing I have Sling TV for is NFL Red Zone, live sports, and anything with Guy Fieri on it. Mm-hmm. Like I watch Triple G, I watch Triple D, I watch all that shit. I just love to watch him cook, dude. Yep. And I'll put that fucker on. Like it, if it's not shit.
You get hungry, man.
If it's getting close to dinner time and I'm not quite hungry yet, I'll just throw on the Food Network channel and watch for 30 minutes and you'll be ready to eat by then.
Yes, sir. That's very true. That's true. If you watch something and it's like they're doing a special on hot dogs, damn, now I got to go get me a hot dog.
Get a hot dog. I try and keep my fridge stocked with dogs, dude.
Yeah.
Because I love hot dogs. I tried to make my own corn dogs a couple weeks ago, but I don't have cornmeal, so that's kind of shitty. But I made like a batter, which is regular flour and stuff like that. And then what I did was I took Funyuns and I crunched the Funyuns into a powder, and I rolled. So I dipped the little cut up hot dog into that flour batter, and then rolled it in the Funyun, and then I fried it. Dude, that was so good. That was so really fucking good. Oh,
you got to TikTok that, man. Okay, I'm at 10%, so we'll have to probably like wrap this up in a few minutes.
Yeah. I would love to TikTok all my food creations. That would be great. But
that would be awesome.
It takes a lot. It takes a lot to do that. All right, well, let's get out of here, brother. I really appreciate you coming on. And let's plug again your J-Ro Logistics Incorporated. Is that what it is?
Yeah, J-Ro Logistics, LLC. Owner-operator out of Southern California, man. I might be coming through your neighborhood sometime because I go anywhere I want. So, you know, if I'm in the neighborhood, I'm going to let you know, man, and we'll kick it.
And J-Ro, what I want to do for you, I don't know if you have a logo or anything like that set up, but I want you to text me later when you get your phone charged. Cool. And we'll get working on. I want to hook you up with a logo and something to put on a business card and shit like that. I'll do that for you. You've done a ton for this podcast, so you deserve it.
Thank you, dude. That's cool. I have not done that yet. So thank you, man. Appreciate that by my heart.
Of course. Of course. And everybody knows where to reach me over here. Trapdoor to Hell. Trapdoorpod@yahoo.com. Email for any topics that you may want to see us talk about and stuff like that. Go follow us on Facebook, Trapdoor to Hell. Like us on Twitter. No, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Damn, yeah. I did the old thing, J-Ro. You know from listening. Follow us on Twitter, Trapdoor Pod, and then go to the YouTube, Trapdoor to Hell on YouTube. We're trying to grow this. The video podcasts are up there if you're not already watching these on YouTube, and we're trying to get better at putting out clips each week. You know, J-Ro's done a great job helping me out with timestamps and stuff like that, stuff he thinks would be good as a clip. Also, too, I want to throw a shout out to anybody I know we don't have many listeners or whatever, but if there's anybody out there who has extra time, who maybe is proficient enough to do it and doesn't mind help me out, I would send you over the YouTube sign in, because you could make clips on there yourself. If somebody has time and would love to help out with the podcast, I can't really compensate you. I don't make any money off of this, but if you're a big fan and would love to do that, I'm going to throw that out there now. So yeah. I really much appreciate everybody. And once again, thanks for letting me, divulge at the beginning of this. And I think this is going to be a great episode. J-Ro, I really appreciate you coming on again, man.
Yeah, thank you, man. And when you guys are done, if you're still on YouTube, go to Mr. J-Ro and listen to some of my music, man. So.
Yeah. At the bottom of this video will be like the tags for everybody's stuff. So keep on rocking. Love you guys. And have a good Memorial Day weekend, everybody.
Enjoy, man.
Thank you. Thank you to everybody who's served. Thank you. You're the reason we live in this free land. I get to hang this flag behind me on my set.
USA, baby. Yeah.
I appreciate you guys so much, and have a good one. All right, everybody. Goodbye.
Rest in peace, Uncle Frankie.
Rest in peace. Love you.
Right on, brother.
You're now tuned in to the show. Seatbelts on, I'ma show you how we go. Mind keeps spinning, but there's nowhere to go. It's a track door to hell, I'ma let them all know. Yeah, straight out of Oakland, Alameda County, San Lorenzo, yay, proud to be a townie. They drop F-bombs cause they go off homes, but don't trip, take a trip to the moron zone. Go hard, bro, we ain't soft like ballads. Put us on the map, we don't ever toss salads. Curveball, it's a Dumbo drop, and we post it on the deck like a Funko Pop. Let's go. You're now tuned in to the show. Seatbelts on, I'ma show you how we go. Mind keeps spinning, but there's nowhere to go. It's a track door to hell, I'ma let them all know. You're now tuned in to the show. Seatbelts on, I'ma show you how we go. Mind keeps spinning, but there's nowhere to go. It's a track door to hell, I'ma let them all know.
From the town to the birds, put your hands to the sky. Hands to the sky, we about to get live. If you from the town, put your hands in the sky. Hands in the sky, we about to get live. If you from the east coast, put your hands in the sky. Hands in the sky, we about to get live. If you from the dirty south, put your hands in the sky. Hands in the sky,
you're now tuned in to the show. Seatbelts on, I'ma show you how we go. Mind keeps spinning, but there's nowhere to go. It's a track door to hell, I'ma let them all know. You're now tuned in to the show. Seatbelts on, I'ma show you how we go. Mind keeps spinning, but there's nowhere to go. It's a track door to hell, I'ma let them all know.